I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of James. In James, please, chapter number 4. I hope you are hungry for God's Word this morning. That you recognize your need for it in your life. And so when I ask you to turn to James, you recognize your need and say, yes, I need this book. I need its challenge. I need its conviction. James chapter number 4. And then, would you one more time pray with me? Let's pray together. Father God, again we come and pray because we open up your word and we need it in our lives. You bought our life. It's yours. In order for us to live a glorifying life to you, Father, we need your work in our lives. And so we pray for conviction. Father, I pray that we see aspects of our life that we have grown so comfortable with that we no longer view them as sin. I pray today we see how we've been grieving you, how we've been sinning against you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I meditated on our passage this morning from James 4, my mind went to a picture. It's not great art, but it's a picture I think any of you have probably seen before. It's called The Three Wise Monkeys. The Three Wise Monkeys had its origin in the Orient. The first monkey in The Three Wise Monkeys has his hands over his eyes. And it communicates the simple truth, see no evil. The middle monkey has his hands over his ears. And it's communicating simply, hear no evil. The last monkey has a hand over his mouth. And it's communicating, speak no evil. As I read my passage this morning over and over again this week, there was part of me that wanted to take my hand and put it over my mouth to stop me from speaking evil. Because our passage this morning is going to call us out on our speech. Look with me. Chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another's brothers. Don't speak evil. Speak no evil. The one who speaks against a brother or judges or condemns his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Speak no evil against your brother. Now there's part of me that says right away, I say, okay, great. That's not good. Because we do that. And so part of me wants to put my hand over my mouth to stop me from speaking evil. But as we dive into the passage this morning, we're going to see the solution to our speaking evil against our brothers and sisters in Christ is simply not a hand over a mouth problem fixed. Because the problem is far more than me just opening my mouth up and having condemnation spew out of it. The problem is far deeper than that. It resides in my heart. In a prideful heart that wants to elevate myself above those around me and place myself in a position of judge over them where I think that I can write out what is right and wrong in their lives and their motives. And so, yes, I need to put my hand over my mouth and say, speak no evil. But I need to say, God, you work in my heart. And you change my heart. And you humble my heart. As we wrestle with speech, there's an aspect in our life where our communication, we have made it an acceptable sin. Where in the course of our communication on an everyday basis, we become guilty of so much. And it's normal. The sad reality of my life and our lives, we become so comfortable with sinning through our tongues that we have failed to even realize how often or in how many ways we do it. We begin to explain it away. I'm just stating a fact. I'm just sharing a prayer request. I'm just having a conversation with a friend. Speak no evil. This sad reality that we become comfortable with certain sins or simply accepting certain sins within our lives or the life of the church caused an author, Jerry Bridges, to write a book entitled Respectable Sins. I want to read an excerpt of his book because it hits home to where we start with this passage. Has the idea of sin all but disappeared from conservative evangelical churches? No. It has not disappeared, but it has in many instances been deflected to those outside of our church circles who commit flagrant sins like murder and notorious white-collar crimes of high-level corporate executives. It's easy for us to condemn those who obviously sin while virtually ignoring our own sins of gossip, pride, envy, bitterness, judgmentalism, or even our lack to show the gracious qualities that Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. We appear to be more concerned about the sins of our society than the sins of our saints. Did you catch that? We appear to be more concerned about the sins of society than we do about the sins of the saints. Our gossip, our unkind words about our brother or sister in Christ roll easily off our tongues without any awareness of wrongdoing. We harbor hurts over wrongs long past without any effort to forgive as God has forgiven us. We look down our religious noses at sinners in our society without any sense of a humble spirit that says, "There but by the grace of God go I." Oh, that our prayer would be, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Christians, it is so easy for us in the course of our conversation to begin to view that we have an acceptable sin. And I know many of you are saying, "Well, Pastor, there's no sin that's acceptable in my life." And I would agree with you in principle. But in conduct, we often make things acceptable. It is so tempting for us to view the extent of sin as the really bad, horrible things that other people do. And sin stops there. We treat sins as if sin is the sins of the dark, heinous crimes that happen outside of our doors. And then we turn a blind eye to how we sinned in just the conversation we had 5 minutes ago. We ignore, as the author said, our gossip, our bitterness, our anger. And as long as we're not doing one of those top 10 horrible crimes, we're okay with God. Church family, I pray for us this morning. I pray we see conversations in new light of the gospel after the next half hour. I pray we walk out with our hands over our mouths and our hearts open to God and the gospel in our lives. It is a sobering reality that this sin that we're going to speak of this morning has ripped churches apart. That the bride of Christ has been crippled by how the body talks. Would you look with me at the passage? Our passage this morning in verses 11 and 12 flow completely out of, and we have to address it, verses 6 through 10 that we spent a couple weeks in, I know. But verse number 6 tells me that God gives more grace. God gives greater grace. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then verse number 10 tells me in chapter number 4, then humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So you have humility, and then that lays the foundation for all those commands we looked at over the last 2 weeks. But those commands aren't the extent of what humility does in my life. Because I really see a connection with humble yourselves and God gives grace to the humble. So then the call of this passage, speak no evil. Because of the heart of my communication of slander, of gossip, of speaking evil around me, is in my heart of pride. That I'm better than somebody else, or at least I want the world to think that way. That if my heart was smote with its pride that I know it's in it, that my speech would change dramatically. And so when we look at this call of speak no evil against your brothers, don't condemn your brother or sister in Christ. The call begins at a foundation of my heart's been called towards humility because I recognize who my God is and I see my sinfulness. And it changes my conversation. Now let me tell you where we're headed this morning, because you're going to get nervous if I don't tell you. There's one command, and we're going to spend our vast majority of time unpacking this one command. And then right near the end, we'll give three reasons why God gave this command in our passage. So if you get nervous that I'm on point one for a whole long time, don't get nervous. That's part of the plan. And then we'll finish up with the last three points on your handout that you have in your bulletin. Look with me at the command. The command to speak no evil against each other. Verse number 11, do not speak evil against one another's brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks against the law or judges the law. Now, before we dive into even the command of how we speak or how we judge or how we condemn, would you notice the word brothers? He says it three times in one verse. Your brothers, I'm speaking to you as a brother. Don't speak against your brother that way. Your brothers and sisters, your family. Now, James has done this a lot in this book. Just glance with me. James 1, 2. Call it all joy, my brothers. James 1, 9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. He keeps on going. In fact, almost every major section of this book begins with him calling them brothers. We're family. Now, don't take this lightly, because in the last few verses we've looked at, James has called his audience sinners, double-minded, and you adulterous people. Pretty harsh words. And then he changes his phrasing and says, now, brothers, don't speak evil of your brother. Don't speak evil of your sister in Christ. Your family. Now, some of us are going to lose the significance of this. Some of you kids say things to your brothers and sisters that should never come out of your mouth. So we're going to lose the significance of this verse. But I was reminded several times as a kid, Luke, we're family. Don't treat your sister like that. She's your family. And that's what James does for us this morning. We're not talking how you're speaking about your neighbor across the street or your coworker who's unsaved, although we should have that conversation saturated with the gospel and the love of God. We're talking about how we speak about the individuals in this very room this morning. We're family. And we're attacking our own. We're brothers and sisters, and we're tearing each other apart. Speak no evil. When he says the word brother, when he says the word your family, I am in my mouth, opening my mouth and speaking evil of an individual that God's own Son died on the cross to save. When he says the word brother, sister here, family, I'm opening my mouth and I want to pass judgment. I want to condemn an individual that God saw the value in enough to say, I will die for that individual. We're family. Speak no evil. Now look at this word, speak no evil. I want to push us this morning. I want to stretch us this morning to kind of wrap our minds around what this word means and how it plays itself out in our lives in ways we may not actually see on an everyday basis. Because our pride puts up blinders against how we do this in our life. Speak no evil. The word speak no evil here, or speak evil, can also be pushed around as a word we use more commonly as slander. Defame one's character. I put a couple of references, or a couple of quotes up on the screen for you. Slander strikes at the person's dignity, defames their character, destroys their reputation. Or another one says, it's the unhelpful, unloving, repetitive stories about wrongs and offenses of another. Speak no evil. If we were to open up God's Word, one author I read this week said that the sin of slander or speaking evil of someone is mentioned more times in the Old Testament than any other sin. Now, I'm just going to take him at his word on that one because I didn't read the whole Old Testament last week and just chart it out. But let's just take it as a significant amount that God's word pushes us to how we communicate. We can open up the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs would tell me to avoid the whisperer. Proverbs would tell me that the gossip or the slanderer destroys friendships. And before I want to shirk it off like it's not that big of a deal, I could open up Matthew 15 and Jesus will talk and he will speak of murder, adultery, and slander in the same sentence. Now, I think I could look at and say, whoa, murder, adultery, woo-hoo, stay away from that. Slander, speaking evil. It's Paul who pushes us to gospel living in Ephesians 4 that he tells us to put off all malice and anger and evil speaking and put on love and forgiveness. This is not just some little thing that we come comfortable with. My evil speaking is an attack on the very gospel that I say is in my heart. Slander is anti-gospel. The gospel speaks of forgiveness. The gospel speaks of love. The gospel speaks of mercy. The gospel of Jesus Christ sees me in my sinfulness and saves me not because of who I am or what I've done. In fact, actually, the gospel sees me in spite of who I am and what I've done and saves me. The gospel produces humility in my life because it's only by the grace of God I am who I am and I do what I do. The gospel then calls me to love others as I have been loved and to forgive as I have been forgiven. Yet speaking evil or slandering my brother or sister in Christ from a heart of pride that wants to elevate myself and tear down the recipient of my speech is completely anti-gospel. Everything about what we celebrate, the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins, declares it's not my good. I'm a sinner. Yet speak evil wants me to ignore my sin and magnify the sin of the person next to me. So let's push this here. Because in reality, we've come very comfortable with the sins of our tongue. And like I've already said, we can explain away what we say and make it even sound spiritual. And we can call gossip, I'm just sharing a burden of a prayer request with somebody. So let me ask you this question. Could you take all your conversations from this past week, and there's a whole host of them, could you take all your Twitter and Facebook posts? Would you take all your rants? All your angry shaking your fist at the person next to you in the car that doesn't even know that he cut you off? Could you take all those? And could you funnel them through this one question? Is this loving? Is it loving? Is what I just said about that individual actually loving? I've been in this passage for a week, and so a lot of my conversations, this question was in the back of my mind. And I'll be really honest, there were a whole bunch of conversations that I just put my mouth up shut because I just can't keep talking right now. From the trivial, I mean literally the trivial, where I want to nitpick at somebody else's abilities or lack thereof that has no real bearing on life, to the far deeper, is this loving? Is my speech loving? Did what I say about my spouse loving this week? Did what I say about my family loving this week? The conversations we've had already this morning as you walked in those doors, was it loving. This is what I'm called to speak. Christians, I mean, in moments of honesty, when we take a look at all we talk about in the day, and we take a humble look at all of it, does it really pass through this grid of am I loving? Now, let's take a time out. Would you take a time out with me? Because we need to say something very important. Speaking lovingly is not ignoring truth. This is the balance we need to take. It does not ignore the truth of God's Word. Speaking lovingly does not mean that we just turn a blind eye to sin and unrepentance in an individual's life. I mean, just do me a favor. Turn one page over. Get to James 5 and verse number 20, verse number 19. Same author here who just tells me to speak no evil. Now he's going to conclude his book with a call to us in our lives. Verse number 19, James 5. My brothers, we're still here, family here. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Wait a minute. Now, James doesn't unpack that a lot. But to see an individual wander from the truth, a brother or sister Christ wander from the truth, and you go to that brother or sister and you bring them back, you exhort them to return to the truth. Was that judging? No. You see, there's a temptation when we hear this phrase, speak no evil or judge not, like we're going to get to in this section, where we want to push ourselves that any address of any fault, if sin in my life or your life, well, you're just judging. You're speaking evil. We're not supposed to do that. God's Word calls me to come and to speak into each other's lives. The question is not the content. The question is it loving? I can have the same conversation about the same sin or same unrepentance in my life or your life and do it from a prideful spirit that wants to push me up and tear you down. And I have the exact same conversation with the purpose of love of God and a broken heart for you. Speak no evil, please, is not understanding that I just turn my back on needs within the body. In fact, the reality of it is, most of the times when we speak evil against our brothers or sisters in Christ, it is not about sins that are black and white in Scripture that we know are wrong or right. It's actually when brothers or sisters in Christ don't live up to the standard that we want them to live up to. I'm going to put it on the screen. You can turn if you'd want. Romans 14, 3 through 4. Let no one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment. That's the word we have in our passage this morning in James 4. On the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Now, what's the context of Romans 14? Is there a major sin issue that Paul's writing about right now? A whole bunch of people are doing some really bad things that we all know is wrong. No. You have one group of the church who doesn't think it's wrong to go eat meat that's offered to idols. Another group of the church thinks it's really wrong and an offense to God to eat meat offered to idols. And then you have one group of the church passing judgment, condemning, speaking evil, because they don't live up to the standard that they think they should live up to. Really, the content of our inner and outward slandering, our inner and outward judgmentalism, is so often not about sin, but about how someone may differ in areas of personal preference, in the gray areas. Where this morning we sit down and we see one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and our mind begins to think, you see how they're dressed today? There is no way they love God. And then we get to know them a little bit more. And we see that they do X. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we couldn't turn to a verse in the Bible that says X is wrong. We may think it's not wise, and we may personally practice that X isn't good. But we find out that they do X, and we think, oh my word, they're not serious about God at all. Speak no evil. The call of this passage has caused me to humility, to recognize my own sinfulness, but also humility to recognize God's word and what God's word calls me to address in individuals' lives. Here's a church in Rome separating themselves, fragmenting the body because how they want to pass judgment on other individuals within the body because of what their dietary habits are, of where they bought their food. And we shake our 21st century head and thinking, seriously, people, who cares if you buy from Aldi's or you buy from Walmart or Pick and Save? I don't care. But for us, the issues change. Yet we still are same tempted to pass the judgment. I read an author this week who got talking along this line. He gave four illustrations. I actually did not share this quote because I know on every single one of those illustrations, there'd be people within our congregation who would stop and say, no, that's wrong or right, and they can't do that. And I know that because I thought the same thing on every single one of them. We pass judgment because somebody wasn't meet up to our standard of what we think holiness should look like. We want to pick apart their motives because they don't live the exact same way we do. Speak no evil. Now, it's just not enough for us to say speak no evil, because we say a whole bunch of things in a whole bunch of different ways that we don't often think through. This is what I want to push us for a second here. Because when we say speak no evil, our minds automatically go to a conversation we have with somebody, right? What came out of my mouth? All right, let me think through what came out of my mouth. We talk to ourselves. We communicate with ourselves. You're doing it right now. You're holding a conversation about my message as I talk to you. I'm doing it about you right now. It's fair. We both do it. You see, this command to speak no evil is not just affecting my physical conversations with somebody. I can speak evil about somebody to myself. I can speak evil as I sit there and put a smile on my face. And I can pass all sorts of judgment and speak all sorts of evil against somebody. And then the pastor says, amen. And we go shake their hand and we say, oh, it's so good to have you here this morning. After I just spoke evil about them the whole time. Speak no evil. This is why it is not simply enough just for me to put my hand over my mouth, because the conversation is still going on in my head. What I desperately need is God to crush my prideful heart so that when I see them, I see a product of God's great grace is the same grace that's in my life that I desperately need. We can speak evil about others to ourselves. We can speak evil about others to the individual we're speaking evil about. Now you think, whoa, pastor, I wouldn't do that. I'm good enough to keep it in my own head. I'm not going to tell somebody what I really think about them. We may have enough social protocol, social acceptableness, where we can put the smile on and we can say what we're supposed to say socially on most occasions. But we still speak evil about others to the individual. And I find the most times we do it are the times where we don't feel like we have to be socially acceptable. You know the time where we let it all down and we don't feel like we have to be socially acceptable? When we go home at the end of the day. We have marriages that are now void of Christ's love, Long has the command to love your wife as Christ loved the church been forgotten. And now the command has been replaced by cutting words and criticism and slander within the own home. And we can walk in our doors on a Sunday morning and we will speak no evil to a whole bunch of individuals and we'll step back into our car and we'll pick right back up where we left off. Speak no evil. I've said this to numerous couples and I've said this to my own self. Spouse, there is nobody in this world who can hurt or destroy the spirit of your spouse more than you can. No one. Because you know exactly how to inflict the pain with your words. Please don't just sit here and think, well, I didn't have any bad conversations this morning with anybody in the church, and think that we're okay with this passage when the person I'm sitting with and I drove to church with, I do nothing but speak evil about. My mind went to the book of 1 Samuel, the life of David. I won't push you to turn there, but I'm just going to tell the account. We know the story. David and Goliath. I mean, big Goliath, little David. Kids, you know the story. David gets sent to the battlefield by dad to bring food to his brothers. Good reason to go to the battlefield? That's a nice reason to go to the battlefield. Obey dad? He should go. He gets to the battlefield, sees Goliath. Goliath has his old speech. David's enraged. How dare that guy just say that about my God? Who's going to do something about that? That doesn't sit well with all of David's brothers. And here comes brother and begins to rip into David. I know why you're here. You're just here to see a battle. Why aren't you taking care of the few little sheep you have back home? Do your job. Speak no evil. And that includes how I talk to my family. Where I think that I can unpack the motives of an individual's heart and think I know why they just did what they did. Speak no evil. Now here's the one where really, this is the one we often go to and we think of right away. Yes, I speak evil about other people and I do it to my own self in my own head. Sometimes I may even speak evil about somebody to that person. But more times than not, I want to speak evil about somebody else with somebody else. And what I've been telling myself in a whole bunch of conversations, I want to make sure everybody else knows the truth about who that person really is. Speak no evil against your brothers or sisters in Christ. Church, this verse scares me. When I take how many people we have here, and we have other people on vacation right now, so there's even more within this circle, and I multiply that by how many conversations we have and how many words are said, this verse scares me. It scares me that our conversations are too often dictated by the pridefulness of my own heart that wants to lift myself up and make myself look better at the expense of somebody else. And not conversations that are dictated by my love for God and my love for somebody else. Speak no evil. Would you stop when we get done today and you're around a coffee pot and you're eating your cookie before Sunday school and before you open your mouth, would you ask the question, is what I'm going to say going to be loving? Or what about let's reverse the roles? Let's just say you get the victory and you don't make the one, you're not the one in the conversation that actually makes the statement that's unloving about somebody else. But you're the one on the receiving end when you hear somebody say something else that's not loving about somebody else. What do you do? How do you respond to that? How would this church gossip change if we just walked away from conversations like that? What change in our church gossip when we said, wait a minute here, was that loving? Do we really need to say that right now? I'm just getting down really practical. I'm getting there, though, because I'm scared for us. I'm scared how easy it's become acceptable in our lives to tear down the product of God's grace. I'm scared for us that's become acceptable in our lives to smile to somebody and say, great to see you, and turn around and walk around and talk about them behind their back. I'm scared for us. We're supposed to be family. And instead of building the body up, we're tearing it down. Church family, we speak no evil. Now, in the closing few minutes, let me give you why we're not going to do this. We're speaking no evil because speaking evil shatters the law of love. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges or condemns his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. Now, James doesn't unpack the word law here, and he's made the habit of that in this book. He just mentions the word law, and we kind of move on. We think, what was he talking about? Ten Commandments, Old Testament law, Mosaic law? Yet, we've already covered this. James 2:8, James mentions there's the royal law. James 2:8, look, if anyone really fulfills the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here is the hypocritical nature when we're speaking evil. We want to uphold this individual that they're not living up to the standards that we think they should live up to, that they're not doing the things we want them to do. Yet the very ground we think that we're standing on to pass judgment upon them is shaky ground because we're disobeying the very foundation of God's law in relationship with Him. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we're saying, here, you're not measuring up to my standard at the very moment that we're not measuring up to God's standard. I used to run a VBS, my first ministry. We played a whole bunch of inflatable games. It looked a lot like what we do with Family Fest for the community. One of my favorite games to play was an inflatable game called Jousting. And it would be a big arena, inflated. It's really safe, very safe. And there'd be two stands of air. So you'd actually stand on this little shaky little air thing. And then they'd pass you a padded stick. And then the game was simply to whack the other person on the other stand and try to knock them off the stand. Talk about a great game. But as a referee, it was always so funny for this game. Because the individual is standing on air. It's wobbly. And so I'd blow the whistle and say, okay, whack away. And some kid would be all excited and just wind up to take the biggest whack of his life. What do you do when you're swinging uncontrollably while you stand on air? You do a face plant. There were so many games where I'd blow the whistle and two kids would just fall right over before they even touched each other. It was very anticlimactic in that way. Because you're not stable yourself to address anything. You're not stable yourself to hit anything. And so as soon as you swing, you fall over. That's what we do when we speak evil. Because when I speak evil and I'm going to judge and condemn an individual, what I'm doing is I'm stepping off of God's law and I myself am falling down. And there's no way as I fall down I can correctly see God's word lived out in their life. I'm off the sure foundation of love. This is what he's saying here. You're shattering the law of love. When you think you want to elevate yourself to the position of judge, that well, now you can execute judgment and decide who's right and wrong in everything, and you're going to do this with your evil spirit, you're disobeying the very law that you think you're upholding as you're failing to love your brother and sister in Christ. If that wasn't sobering enough, he keeps on going. Speak no evil because speaking evil attempts to supplant God from his place as judge. James is so matter of fact. I hope you've learned that in the last few months as we've studied it. He just states it. Into verse number 11. Now, let's just pick it up in verse number 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and destroy. There's only one opening for the position of judge. And guess what? It's filled. And it's filled by God. And what I attempt to do is take God's place. And I think, and somehow in my pride, that I can see her clearer than God and decide what should be done next. And in my pride, I think that I can see clearer about God and be clearer than God's word even and decide what's right and wrong for somebody else. Speak no evil. But then lastly, go to the very last statement of the verse. I'm speaking no evil because it causes me to forget who I am. Look at the last, it's a rhetorical question. James asks a whole bunch of rhetorical questions. Basically, he just says, who do you think you are? Who are you? Would you answer that question humbly? Who are you? I'm a product of the grace of God. That the only reason I'm alive today is because God is gracious to me today. And the only reason I have a relationship with God is because God is gracious to me today. Because God breathed into me a life to give me life, and then God gave me spiritual life at salvation. And who I am is because of God. And so I come to you, brother or sister, not as judge, but as an individual in need of God's working in my own life. And I can humbly come to you and say, I see this. I don't know if I see clearly, but I see this, and I'm concerned for you in this area, and I want to pray with you on this area because I know I struggle here. That's love. We're talking about ourselves right now. If I'm going to stay back and shake my head at all I think they have done wrong, speak no evil. Here's an individual who never spoke evil. And yet evil was spoken against him over and over again. Here's Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to leave heaven's glory for the purpose to seek and to save those who are lost. And a group of Pharisees come along and say, what you're doing is the work of Satan. Doesn't that make your blood a little bit boil? Here's God's Son, whose whole purpose is to come and deliver individuals from Satan, and his work is being attributed to Satan. Yeah, he's a product being spoken evil of. And then you fast forward that guy's ministry of Jesus Christ, and he stands before a mock of a trial, hearing people concoct accuses against him to the point that two people can't even get their story straight enough to bring the accusation against Jesus. You realize Jesus hangs on the cross as a product of slander? I finish that way because I want us to see that what we experience against us, an individual speaking evil against us, is not something that our Savior Jesus Christ has not felt himself. He's felt it far more. And yet he hangs upon a cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He forgives. So, and the practicality of it, I know in this command of speak no evil, that all of us are guilty and all of us need to see the ability to forgive it. So, Christian, brother, sister in Christ, we speak no evil. We take our hands and we put them over our mouth to stop it from coming out. And we plead with God to change our hearts and humble us so that what comes out of our mouths is a product of God's great love. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your patience, your mercy. Father, I pray for us as a congregation right now that we take the time to consider our own lives. Father, I pray for Holy Spirit working in our lives to make us see statements we've been saying, conversations we've had in brand new light that we haven't seen that way in a long time. Father, I pray for conviction that stops us in the middle of conversations of Holy Spirit asking, should we really say that? And Father, I pray for a congregation, a church family, that has conversation after conversation with the purpose of love. Love for you, love for each other, that you would be glorified.